Good morning, everybody. I'm excited to be back. I know we didn't have a message last week for those who are staying home. We did have our message at the church, and we are doing the church message again this week. We'll be at the church, 50 people maximum, but those of you who decide to stay home, we do have a video for you today. And so it's the same thing. Nancy's not going to be able to be with us this morning on the video, but same thing, though, that she always says, remember to get your cup of coffee, get your Bible, and get in a comfortable place and hear the word of the Lord for you today. And we're excited. I'm excited about what God has shared with me to share with you. Okay, God bless. Well, Nancy and I, as I said, have just been on vacation, and so I went to our Thursday morning group at the church just this week. Lee had picked out a Francis Chan video for us to watch for the group, and Francis was specifically dealing with the passage that our church's vision statement comes from, Ephesians 3:14-19. And you know, as I listened to him, I thought he did such a fantastic job of sharing why, in one sense, he wasn't thinking of this, but I was, of why this passage is our church's vision statement. And of course, this passage comes from Ephesians 3:14-19. He did a fantastic job of it. And so I thought that this morning it would be great if we looked at this passage again. Some of what I will say I got from Francis Chan, I want to give him the credit for that, and some are my own thoughts. Some of it is what I've gleaned over the years, and so I'm kind of trying to put it all in my own words, but I do want to share that, you know, Francis Chan did come up with some of these concepts. But before I start, I have a kind of confession that I have to make, and that is that in my head, I know a lot of biblical truth. And what I'm going to share this morning is biblical truth that I know. But I waver sometimes from knowing it in my heart to truly knowing it, you know, or to truly knowing in my heart, or am I just knowing it in my head? And because of that, I can end up from time to time ministering from what we would call a position of insecurity. What I mean by that is that I'm trying to get people's approval or maybe God's approval, and I'm trying to in some sense earn approval through ministry. And that's because I doubt sometimes at an inner being level what we're going to look at today, and I doubt that it's really true. Now, I do not always minister out of this insecurity, only sometimes, but without presupposing too much about you, I think many of you struggle with this same issue. Let me see if at the end of this you can relate to some of what I'm saying today. But let's start by reading Ephesians 3:14-19. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. This is Paul saying this. I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, all of us, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Amen, amen. And this passage is where we get our vision statement as a church, to know and make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. And I have preached lots of messages over the years about this, but today, maybe today, we will all get a few fresh ideas, a few fresh insights that we hadn't thought about before. And maybe that'll help us to get a little closer to it. First, this passage, I want to say, is all about the Holy Spirit in our lives. What do I mean by that? This is a major reason that God has given us His Spirit. Let me say that again. this passage and the purposes of this passage is a major reason that God has given us his Spirit. It says God will strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit. So he's saying this is a spirit thing. And the power that Paul is praying the Ephesian church will get and will receive is not power to heal per se. It's not power to overcome and have victory per se, or even to bind up the demonic. It is power to know something. And not just in my head, it's power to believe something in your inner being. You know, so often we can outwardly confess biblical truth and we can actually believe it in our minds, and we can look good on the outside in the physical, in a sense, but in our inner being, we can be full of doubt and uncertainty. And especially when it comes to knowing how much God does or doesn't love you or me. We can believe God loves us corporately because he has to. He's God and the Bible says that he loves us. We can believe that God loves the whole world, like John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And there's so much in there, but it gets turned inward toward me or you as an individual, but when it gets turned, then that's when we doubt it. Does God really love me with all of my mistakes, with all of my weaknesses? And not only does he really love me, we might even say, well, yeah, I think he loves me, but does he really love me as much as the Bible says he loves me? And do I believe it deep down in my inner being? And there is a reason here, church, that Paul is kneeling and praying for this to happen. Because Paul knows that something. He knows this is a work of the Holy Spirit. In one sense, he or I cannot make this happen for you. We can't do it through a sermon. A sermon will not produce it. And while I believe, obviously, in teaching this to you, because I'm teaching it to you today, I also need to remember something, that Paul actually prayed for this to happen. He is pleading for a move of the Holy Spirit in the church. He is praying for individuals to really experience and understand it supernaturally. I cannot give it to you. Paul knew he couldn't give it to the Ephesians. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives it to you. But I and all the spiritual leaders in this church should be constantly praying for the Holy Spirit to come and give you this revelation. We should be praying for this revelation to come to the church, our church as a whole. And that is so much of what I want in this vision statement that we talk about. And I have to ask myself this question then. Do I pray for all of you more than I preach to you? Because, church, this passage is not just a small part of what God wants for you. No, this is a summary passage. In other words, it is the whole ball of wax in a nutshell. It is the foundation that leads us all into the fullness of God. It is about how you will know that Christ Jesus dwells within your heart and believe it, that God's very presence is within you. Paul is not just teaching about being rooted and grounded in God's love, but he is kneeling and praying that you would be rooted and grounded in God's love in your inner being by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul is praying that you would have power to grasp, to know something, the width, he says, the length, the height and the depth of Jesus Christ's love for you. You, not just everybody, not just the whole world, but also you as an individual. But then he says this. This love is actually kind of unknowable. The true knowledge of it is actually beyond your reach and my reach. So Paul is saying something rather strange. He's saying, I pray that you would know, truly know, in your inner being, something that is impossible for you to fully know. Unless, church, and this is the point, this is why he kneels. Unless God miraculously opens up your mind and hearts to it by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. The love of Christ for you and me is something that we can never fully mine the depths of. We can know it, but we will always learn and experience more of it. You can never come to the end of it. Amen. Let me show you another passage in the Gospel of John now that reinforces this. John 15:9 says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. I think we miss the unbelievable statement Jesus makes here. Think about how much the Father loves Jesus. How much do you, all of you, think the Father loves Jesus, his Son? Now I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. A lot, right? More than you could actually ever fully fathom. But Jesus says this amazing thing. That is how much he loves you. Think about it. Just as the Father has loved me, just as the Father has loved me, I love you. I have loved you. And now, and this I think is connected to what Paul is praying for us to have in Ephesians, now he says, remain in my love. Jesus' command is to remain in his love. And Paul says that's where we experience the fullness of God. Let's read another passage in John 15:10-12, which is the next section. He says this, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. How we remain in his love is by obeying his commands. That's what Jesus says. But we may misunderstand in a way what he's saying. Remaining in God's love is not about obeying the old law. It's not about keeping all of the Ten Commandments faithfully and never breaking them. The command that he says is the one that we are to keep, is to love each other even as he has loved us. In one sense, it means that we will naturally want to keep God's commands. But the point is, it's moving right into the heart. Love each other. That's the command. Love one another even as I have loved you. Now, look at what Jesus says just the chapter before this about how we obey God's command. In John 14:15-17, he says this, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. What is Jesus' command? Well, it is that we love one another just as he has loved us. And how do we do that? Through the gift of the Holy Spirit that he will give to us and that will live in us. And this brings me to Paul again and his prayer for the Ephesians, and by extension, his prayer for you and for me, that through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, we would know What, in fact, is beyond knowing? The love of Christ, which is a love that is as big as the Father has for the Son, which is way bigger than we can ever imagine. And through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are asked now to love one another just as Jesus loves us. Now, we need to know this love, and that's part of what Paul's saying. You have to know this love in one sense in order to give it away to one another, to be able to express it fully to one another. The order that Jesus uses in describing the progression of love is very important. It starts with the love that the Father has for the Son, and then the love that the Son has for you and me, and then it culminates in the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Then we are able to love each other with the love that Jesus has for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God's love that's found in the Trinity, which flows always between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, but is now, because of what Christ has done, been given to you and I. And so now it is God's love in us that we can actually extend to one another. But it is all a work of the Holy Spirit. And this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. And this should be our prayer for one another as well. That we would pray that we would get power to fully know in our inner being the love, the width and the breadth and the depth and the height and the length of Christ's love for us. So let's do that. Let's do that this morning. Let's pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to give us a revelation of God's love for you and I this morning. And one of the things that Francis Chan said is that Paul bowed down on his knees. People in Paul's day were used to bowing. They bowed before lords and before kings. Anyone actually that had a higher status than them could make them bow. But we are not used to bowing down in our culture. We do not bow actually to anyone nowadays. But I think it is good for us to bow down to God. It means we recognize that He is God and that we are not. That we are in reverence to Him in asking for His will to be done here this morning. And we proclaim Him King and Lord over our own hearts, over the space we're in, over the place that we're in, over all of our lives. Amen. So let's do that. And I'm going to ask you, you may not feel comfortable with it, but I'm going to ask you to bow down. And because I'm on the video, I'll bow my head as I pray. But if you're in your house right now, you're watching this, get on your knees and bow down. And we'll ask God to give us this revelation. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for a powerful, fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit. A revelation, Lord, that allows us to know something in our inner being, to know something deep, deep within us. Lord, I pray for the whole church as the pastor of the church. I pray for the whole church. I pray for Nancy. I pray for me. I pray for all of you. Father, give us power this morning to grasp and to know in our inner being the breadth, the depth, the height, the whole expanse of Christ's love for us, how much He loves us, how much You love us. Lord, I pray for a revelation of the Spirit. Come. Come right now. Begin to show us, Lord. Show us something that is impossible in a sense for us to grasp on our own. Show us, Lord. What I want you to do is to take time to keep praying. Even as we close out this video, keep praying for that. Pray for the church, pray for yourself, pray for me, pray for Nancy. Pray for all of us that we would grasp this love in a fresh and new way this morning. God bless you all. Thank you for giving me this time to share with you this morning. Bye-bye.